Sure. Appreciate everybody coming down and helping in that situation. Great need there, and I'm thankful that God's given us an opportunity that we can help in the situation. And somebody said, well, what can we do? You just did the most powerful thing that's available to you by praying. By praying. That's the greatest thing, the best thing we can do. I want to talk some this morning about the resurrection. We sang several songs, and I was thinking about this, you know, going through. And the resurrection, and a lot of times, you know, we don't spend enough time on this. A promise from God that will be. I mean, a promise of God that's going to happen. You know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts. This is going to take place. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a short time that we're going to spend here on this earth, and then we're going to spend an eternity in heaven. And I'm thankful for that. You know, David mentioned Gary Brown a minute ago. We'll see Gary again. You know, we might even get him to sing that song again. Can't ever tell. I bet his voice will be better. We'll be made in the likeness of an image of Christ. You know, so that'll change a lot of us. We're going to be better. I want to look at the book of St. Matthew, if you'll turn there, in chapter 24. Now, I want to talk about this very seriously this morning. You know, there's some thoughts that I have in mind. You know, when the Lord steps out and the trumpet sounds, and I'm going to be rejoicing and praising God because I've got my situation fixed. It's already fixed with the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm a believer. And, you know, and there's no doubts as far as I'm concerned with me. But I've thought about, you know, when he steps out and he takes us off this earth, you know what's going to be left? The ungodly. Amen. The ungodly, the unbelievers. There'll be no conscience to these people. And I get concerned a lot of times, you know, I don't know if we spend enough time praying about our children or not. You know, we're talking about kids 10, 12, 14, 16 years old. What's going to happen if mom and daddy's took out, praise God, and they're left here? Now, it's going to be that quick. You're going to leave here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. You're not going to have time to say goodbye. In other words, and the Scripture tells us, not turn back and try to say anything to anybody. Just look forward because it's going to happen that quick. And I get concerned a lot of times, you know, what's going to take place after I'm gone, after we believers are gone. You know, there's going to be an ungodliness on this earth like it's never been before. And I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm talking about the Word of God. In Matthew 24 and verse 21, it said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And so it's going to be a harder time, a worse time than any of us has ever saw, any of us will ever experience when it starts talking about these things. And I get thinking about, you know, children waking up one morning and the Lord takes the mom and daddy out of the household and they're there. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to try to hide out a while. If they're smart, they're going to hide out best they can because there's going to be people going door to door. You know, there's going to be people seeing what they can advantage they can have. You know, I got thinking about it. One of the first places they'll hit will be this church building. Yeah, they'll come in and get all these microphones and speakers and all that stuff. Praise God. Bless them. Let them have it. We don't need it. We have no use for it. And I got thinking, somebody said, why do you think it'd break the church first? Well, there'll be no Christians there to defend it. The next thing, they'll go down to mine and Jones' house, down to Parsons. They'll say, well, surely the preacher's took out of here. Surely. You know, I'm talking about robbers and their mind. You know, they think these things out, you know. My house probably be the second place. While they're on this property, they'll just go down there and get that stuff too, because thank God me and Jones are going to be out of here. Now, we've got grandchildren that I hope that we'll be prepared. And it takes preparation. You know what it takes? Belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to take. You know, if you've got people in your family not saved, when that time comes, when the Lord steps out and calls us out of here, there'll be no hope for them after that. You know. And you wonder what's going to happen. Everybody that's left here is ungodly, unbeliever. Unbelievers, They're going to be going house to house, seeing what they can do and what they can take advantage of. The young ladies and the young men, they'll have problems. If they're smart, they'll try to hide out a while. In verse 23, it said, if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and show great wonders, and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I like that where it said, if it were possible. You know, that's an impossibility to deceive the very elect, because we know and we understand. You know, when Jesus talks about when he returned, see the scars in his hands. Amen. That'll be a true giveaway. But when we think about this second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, I get excited because it's not just going to be me took up. It's going to be a lot of the folks that I've loved through time, mamas, daddies, parents, grandparents, you know, uncles, aunts, that we're going to see again in this time of resurrection. Be ready. In verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so we have this indication, you know, people try to prepare for something. You know, if we're going on a vacation, we usually spend a week or two most of the time preparing. Sometimes I throw one in on her and say, let's go somewhere. But most of the time we spend the time preparing and getting ready to go. Well, this, according to this, that we're not going to know when the time is, so there's not going to be a preparation time that we're going to take and we're going to prepare and get everything ready. Now is the time that we get ready. Now is the time that we believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the time that we punch our ticket for heaven, you might say. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know when the flood was coming. They didn't have an idea. Noah did. He built an ark preparing for it. And he gives us time to prepare ourselves for that time. In verse 38, for as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until a flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so we start getting down to the point, we don't know when it's going to happen, but he's given us this time that we prepare. You know, when I read about this, he said, you know, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that the flood came upon them. They didn't have a clue. It sounds like the world we're living in now. They're just going on about their business, not God's business, going on about their business, doing what they want to do, and they're going to be took by surprise one of these days. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now I want you to think about that reality. You know, if we're in church when it happens, I'd hope that most of us are out of here and gone together. But if you know, if you happen to be down at the ball game, you know, they might look around, your buddy might look around, I said, and say, I wonder what happened to Melvin. You'll be took out of here, Melvin. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know, you'll be gone. And you'll have friends sitting around you that's not going to make it. Now, I'm not just picking on Melvin, but I know well he's got a friend that if it happens, he's not going to make it. According to his testimony, I'm not judging him. I don't judge people. God does. I don't have to. But can you imagine what that's going to be like? What if you're on an airplane and the pilot's saved and you're not? What about all these cars driving down the highway? You know, what if you're meeting me in my truck and all of a sudden the Lord takes me out? Good luck to you. I mean, we need to think about the reality that everybody's not going. You know, now that's not God's desire. God's will and God's desire is that all come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Amen. But everybody's not going to heed to that, and there's going to be people left here after we're gone. And we need to think about these realities. It said, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And so there it is again. You know, we have the illustration. We'd like to think, well, all of ours are going, and all of our family's going to make it. If you got friends and family that's not saved or not believers on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they'll be left. And we'll be gone. Let's look over just a little bit farther in St. John. St. John chapter 11. We're going to talk about Lazarus a little bit. You know, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. He got sick. He died. Amen. And the sisters, you know, kind of questioned Jesus about this. But when we start talking about qualifications to make it and get took out of this earth and off out of this world and into heaven when the Lord returns, it's Jesus. That there's no nothing else. It's Jesus, or you're just not going to make it. And so in John chapter 11, and I'll look at verse 20, Lazarus had died. Jesus, they thought, was late getting back. Jesus is never late. He is right on time. But St. John chapter 11, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And so the promise of God coming through Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, said, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. So she already had a knowledge of this resurrection that's going to take place, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had this knowledge. She had embraced this knowledge. And she was well with that. She said, I know he'll come again at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Y'all got that? What did Jesus say? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so it's going to be through Jesus this resurrection is going to take place. No other name given under heaven or on earth whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. And Jesus will be the resurrection. He told Martha, you know, she had kind of an attitude. Said, if you'd be here, we wouldn't have died. He said, well, I'll just raise him. You know what a big thing to Jesus? He'll just call him up. Amen. You can read a little bit farther over. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what? Oh, by the way, here he comes. Here he comes. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll hear your name one day. He'll say, come forth. And you'll come forth. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? He starts talking about the Spirit. That Spirit inside me that belongs to God, not going to die. When this flesh lays down, when this flesh dies, this Spirit in me is going to be with the Lord until it's reunited at the day of the resurrection. He'll bring this very same Spirit, put it back in this very same body. It'll be a renewed body. It won't be sick. Won't have aches, won't have pains. There'll be no cancer in it. You know, all these things is a promise from God. Let's look to Romans just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And so now we pick up the position of baptism showing the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it shows. It shows a preview of this resurrection that's going to come. And we start talking about this. He said, baptized into what? Into Jesus Christ. Well, you read in Colossians that Jesus is the body. Amen. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. And so when we're baptized into the church, into Jesus' death. And I like this thought, you know, when I bring somebody back here in this baptistry and I put them down, that's showing the death and the burial, dying out to sin. And when I raise them up, it's showing the promise and the hope of the resurrection. It's just a picture of what's yet to come. It said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now, you think about this, buried with him by baptism. Now, that's one of the reasons I don't sprinkle. Y'all understand that? I know a lot of people do. A lot of people say, well, it's just a likeness of it. No, this said buried. How many people y'all saw buried and they just sprinkled a little dirt on them? Praise God, you put them down and you cover them up, right? So is baptism. You bury them in baptism, put them under. And so when we talk about verse 5, it said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Another promise from God. Praise the Lord that we've been buried in baptism with him into his death, and we're going to be taken out of this earth some one of these days. Whether we're dead or alive, don't matter to God. He's got power over all of it. You know, I thought a lot of times, I've never really thought that if I'm going to see the second coming of the Lord or not, but the older I get, you know, it could happen. I might. Praise the Lord. I used to always think my kids were going to see it, and I wanted to have them prepared, you know, because I'd come out of the grave as good as I'd come out from behind this pulpit. To God, it don't make any difference. I mean, we're just going to step out to live eternally anyway. So what's the difference if I step out of here or if I step out of a grave? Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm very concerned this day and time about a lot of people that when this takes place, they're not going. You know, I guess if you wanted to feel real good, I could stand up here and say, oh, no, all your loved ones, everybody on the world is going to make it. That's contrary to what God says. He, you know, I've just read to you, two will be there, and one will be taken, the other one left. And that's the situation we're up against. You know, what he gave us was about 50-50. Y'all ever thought about that? You know, one taken, one left, that's 50%. I'm not going to put a percentage on it. I'm not sure about that. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This is God's word telling us he don't want us to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. He wants us to know and understand if they're sleeping in Christ, they're going to get up. If they're sleeping in Christ, you know, there's going to be a resurrection. They're going to come forward. And God don't want us ignorant about it. A lot of people claim ignorance to get them by. So, well, I didn't know that. I'm not buying that. You know, one place it said there's no excuse. God left no excuse. The word's going to be preached throughout the whole world. It might have already been. I don't know. And then the Lord's coming back. It said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now we're talking about qualified for the resurrection. You know, I'm talking about that, oh, by the way, we're going to heaven for eternal life, regardless of what everybody else does. In verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know, I love this verse, and I claim this verse a lot of times. You know, anything going real good and everything going along well, there usually somebody don't like it. Y'all ever thought about that? There's usually somebody that'll gripe about it and not like it. You know, we didn't have one of the most powerful spirit-filled church services you ever been in here at New Salem Baptist Church, and all of a sudden somebody griping, well, it lasted too long. It was too cold. I got too hot. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. Y'all know. A lot of times y'all don't hear that. Pastors get to hear most of it. Praise the Lord. Pastors get to hear most of it. But you know what I'm talking about. Somebody would have something to dampen it down. And this says that we don't have any control all of us which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we've got no control over it whatsoever. It's that God's will and God's direction. When he says, Lord, go back, the Lord's coming back. And there ain't not one thing you can do about it then or now or ever. It takes power away from us. I'm glad. Somebody say, well, I wasn't quite ready. I was sleeping good. You know, they told me that the other day, talking to a man. You know how they always keep the kids quiet in church? You know, try to? He told me why. He said, I said, well, why? And he said, because they keep the kids quiet so it won't wake the adults up. You know, amen. Don't hurt us to get stirred up a little bit every now and then, does it? Might wake somebody up. Punch that girl again, see if she'll cry. She ain't going to do it. She ain't going to do it. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, y'all get that marked down. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, if I'm alive and still in this flesh, if I just happen to be hanging out over at Hawkins Cemetery or somewhere, I might see them get up. I mean, that's a reality. It said they're going to rise first. You know, if you were just makes me kind of just want to hang around a graveyard, don't y'all? Lord, come back, call them people out. Wouldn't you like to see Billy Gray and Gary? Now, I better stop. I'll miss somebody, but they've been a bunch of them. They've been a bunch of them. Louise, one of the quietest ladies in this church, might be one of the loudest shouters that day. I don't know. A lot of y'all didn't know Louise, Jim and them's sister, and died early, 57 years old, passed early. I look forward to seeing her. She wrote me cards of encouragement on a continual basis. That was her ministry. That's what she did. She told me one time, she wrote cards. And there's something else I liked too, while she was here teaching in this church. She taught young ladies how to be young ladies. Amen. They still in need for it. She said the first thing she taught them was how to keep their dress down, their britches up. Tell me that plain. It didn't bother me. I thought, go for it. You know, that's something people need to hear, right? And she taught that while she was here. And I thought a lot about her. You know, all the cards I got and the times I'd get encouraged by cards she sent. And she said that was her ministry. That's what she could do. And when I see her again, I'm going to tell her thank you. Thank you. We'll all have an opportunity. We'll have eternity. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where are you going to meet them at? In the clouds. In the clouds, that's where we'll meet them at. You might see them leave, but then you're going to catch up with them in the clouds. It said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know what greater word we can have of comfort than to know that this is not the end. This is just the beginning. I mean, you know, this is just the beginning. When you stack this life up, you know, if you say we live 75, 80, 90 years, what's that compared to an eternity? We can't imagine that, can we? I mean, we're dominated by clocks and calendars and days and weeks and months and years, and there'll never be again. Y'all know somebody will come back, don't you? Isn't that a good thought? He might straighten y'all two up.